Morning, we're going to be in First Peter, and I know some are like, are we ever going to get out of verse 4 of chapter 2? And the answer is, not today. No, I'm kidding. Yes, we will, and we will be in verse 5 today. After we finish up verse 4, we'll start in verse 5. And, you know, guys, the idea of all of this is not... All right. I know I say this every week. I'm going to say it again because this is so important. As the world celebrates seasons or occasions, the church can't celebrate every occasion that the world does. We can't be a part of it. I mean, it's just, we can't. If we do, we violate the word of God. If we do, we are not serving God. And if we stand with the world, the Bible says that we hate God and we're an enemy of God. And so my desire is to walk through these scriptures so that people have a clear understanding. Not just that you're saved. You know, so many people, if they say, oh, I'm saved. Okay, you're saved. You're going to heaven. Yeah, and then by the time we really get down to the nitty gritty, you're not saved. And the clearest proof that you were born again is John 8:47. Jesus himself says, and this is why I'm saying, guys, listen, in your heart of hearts, you can know that you know the Bible says. Jesus says, you are not, he's talking to the Pharisees and the Jews and the lawyers and all the issues that are going on with them. And they're standing up against him and they're not appreciating what Jesus has to offer. They're saying, Abraham's our father. And Jesus comes out and he says, no, Abraham's not your father. If Abraham were your father, you would believe what I'm telling you. But you don't believe what I'm telling you because the devil is your father. Boy, if that doesn't stand up here today, amen, you tell someone the devil's their father and they'd be like, oh. But Jesus said it because Jesus wasn't politically correct. Guys, we're going to walk through this because I think it is so valuable for people to understand the scriptures. Not just understand what it says, but understand what it means. And so that's why I'm methodically walking through these first few verses of chapter 2. Because Peter sets it up in chapter 1. If you're saved, if your faith is genuine, right, then you'll be obedient. If your faith is genuine, then you understand the value of the death on the cross. And then we get into chapter 2. When we get into chapter 2, Peter starts unrolling this whole, hey guys, listen, because I established your salvation in chapter 1, now let me help you understand what that actually means. So many people say, oh, I believe in Jesus, but the reality is they don't believe Jesus. And when Jesus speaks his words, man, it just ruffles their feathers because they're like, that goes against the world. Well, yes. The word of God goes against society. Listen, if you come into this church and just the other day someone said, but Pastor John, I can't listen to your preaching. And I said, why? You're too stern. And I go, it's my eyes. You have to, don't look at me in the eyes, right? Because my eyes put off this bad vibe, I think, or something. I don't know. I got the crazy eyes, right? And so people are like, oh. My daughter's even like, Dad, you don't look at me like that. All right. So apparently I have these crazy eyes. So just kind of ignore the eyes, but listen to what I got to say. I'm not trying to be stern or hurt your feelings, and I'm not trying to drive you away. And I'm not trying to empty the church out. And I'm not trying to fill the church up. I'm trying to preach truth. That's my whole goal. My goal is to teach you the word of God. And that is it. So as we're walking through this, last week we established that Jesus Christ is the living stone the cornerstone. We established that the Jews wanted nothing to do with that. If you remember how the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? Remember the Pharisees, they had religion. They were religious, but they didn't have a relationship with God. They didn't believe in the Messiah. And so therefore, the Pharisees are religious, and the Sadducees, they didn't believe in God. They were atheists, so they were sad, you see. And we noticed that the both of them were the same, right? Because ultimately, if you have the religious who goes, oh, I'm spiritual, but I don't care if you're spiritual. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you have no hope. And so it doesn't matter if you're the Pharisee, that you're the religious, self-righteous, spiritual one, or you're the Sadducee, you're the atheist who says there is no God. Ultimately, both of you are going to be looking at one another in hell going, what happened? I thought I was right. And so what I want to establish today is, listen to what I've got to say. Not because I'm trying to hurt your feelings. Man, I'm looking out here, the majority of you are big boys and girls. Right? If you really want to know the things of God, you have to surrender to the Word of God. And you cannot, listen to me, we cannot, as born again believers that love Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we cannot walk with the world and walk with Christ. It does not happen. It will not happen. And Christ says, you will be cursed. You can't be friends with God, the world, and friends with God. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. Choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this day whom you will serve. Now, people say, I can't do it. I don't have the strength. Like it's overwhelming, but that's a lie. If you have Christ in you, right? If you're born again, you got the strength. You have to decide to die to yourself. That's like, hey, it's that easy. How many find that really tough sometimes? Amen. You're like, oh, die, 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 and it won't die. You just still have these crazy thoughts, and you still have these crazy desires, and we have to bring them in. But I'm going to tell you, the reason that people as a whole, they hate Christ. The majority of the people hate Christ. That is why the Pharisees rejected him. That's why even the Jews were rejecting Christ. And they were rejecting Christ because they hate what he stood for. And but not only that, but they hated to be told what to do. Who are you to put a standard on my life? Right? And so then they get all mad and they wanted to kill him. Over and over and over again, they wanted to kill Jesus Christ because they didn't like what he had to say, because it stopped them from fulfilling their whatever. And so they got real angry. Well, and not only that, but Jesus was getting people saved. And when he was getting people saved, they were leaving the church, right? They were like, oh, this isn't about religion. This is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so the Pharisees didn't have power over them. And if the Pharisees didn't have power over them, they didn't get the money from them. And so the Pharisees are like, hey, man, he's cutting into my paycheck. And that's why they were rising up against Jesus. And then the people were like, you mean to tell me I can't do this? My body, my choice, my desire, my choice. Who are you to put these stipulations on me? And so then they would rise up against Jesus because Jesus would tell them no. And they're like, who are you to tell me no? Because they didn't believe he was the Son of God, see? If they believed he was the Son of God, they would have surrendered to him. But they didn't. And so Peter now is establishing who Jesus Christ is and who we are in Christ. And that's what I want to talk about today. Because guys, I'm telling you, man, this world is just snatching people away right and left who are in the church and snatching away churches. Man, they're infiltrating. They're like termites. They are legit. They come in all like a Trojan horse, man. All incognito, hiding, you know, like, yeah. And you can't tell the damage they're doing behind the scenes until one day you go to anchor into something and you find out it's hollow because the termites have eaten it up. And that's the church today. That's the church today. Man, this month started, and I adamantly just take a stand for Jesus Christ. I don't care what the world is doing, but the world cares where I stand. That's so funny. They care where I stand. Listen, walk your walk. Walk your walk. Whatever that looks like. But I'm not allowed to walk my walk if my walk doesn't agree with their walk. And today, I'm going to show you why you can't walk with the world and walk with Jesus Christ. You can't. You have to choose this day whom you will serve. You have to. And the day is coming. Oh, make no mistake about it. The day is coming where you're going to have to make a decision. It's coming. Canada, boy. Canada, they're on now. These pastors up there, they're going to jail right and left because they're taking a stand for Jesus and they're getting arrested. I mean, they're getting the one pastor, Arthur, I don't know if you're following him. He was driving down the road, not breaking any laws whatsoever, man. They pulled him over, snatched him out of the car. It was raining wet, threw him down on the pavement and handcuffed him and took him off to jail. And you know what they said he did wrong? He preached the gospel. That legit, he preached the gospel and said that he was causing, what was it, something against society or whatever the terminology they use. Yeah, guys, hold on. It's coming to America. Oh, please don't be deceived to think that it's not going to knock on your door one day and you're going to have to make a decision. And are you strong enough in Christ to say, I stand with Jesus. I stand with Jesus. I stand with Jesus. See, this isn't an emotional thing for me. I don't lack compassion. I just have a massive amount of passion for Christ and what he's done for me. And I think some of us have either never experienced what Christ has done for them, they've never experienced Christ, or they're just not appreciative. Well, I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you, the day is coming. Even Jesus said, if you don't hate your father and mother and brothers and sisters and your family, right? If you don't hate them, you don't love me. And it's not because he says to hate them. He's saying in comparison. And so many of us are picking the world and those in the world over Christ. And I don't get it. I got a friend of mine that I've been friends with for over 30 years, or almost 30 years. And they're ridiculing me because I stand on Scripture and not with the world. And certain parts and sects of the world. And I'm going, you're supposed to be born again too. Well, John, you're full of hate. Hate? I'm full of hate because I stand on the Word of God? No, you're full of hate because you don't stand with these people. These people are sinners that are denying and rejecting the gospel and trying to shut down churches. No, I'm not going to stand with those people. And then the friendship's over just like that. So that's why I'm digging in to the terminology that Peter uses in these passages. Because if we don't dig in and really get a good understanding, well, we're going to get swept away with the tide. Right? What's the tide do? First thing it does, it takes out your footing. Right? We got to stop that. We got to stop that. All right, here we go. So, First Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. So the first thing I want to remind you of is coming to Jesus is literally you made a conscious decision. You're going to stand with Christ and you're not going to move. That coming to him means you are committed. It's not just showing up. It's showing up with intentionality of staying. That's coming to him. That would be the Greek word and what it means, right? And so you're coming to him with the intention of staying. And then he goes on and he says here, as to a living stone, the cornerstone, realizing that everything is built on him and around him. And if you move him, it all crumbles. So you're coming to Christ as a living stone, realizing that's your anchor. That is absolutely the crux to all existence. And if that cornerstone goes away, all existence crumbles. He's the living stone. Then it goes on, rejected by men. Listen, the reason that they were rejected or contempt and hatred, right? It was in their rejection. Mark 12:12. And guys, I don't know if you had these or not. I kind of threw it up there. Mark 12:12. You should have had it on last week because it was all in last week and I didn't get to it. So it's taking me forever to go through three words. I'm sorry, guys, right? Mark 12:12 says, and they sought to lay hands on him, but feared the multitude, for they knew he had spoken the parable against them. So they left him and went away. So hold on right there. Do you see what happened? He speaks a parable. Now, Jesus speaks a parable, but he doesn't point at people and he doesn't use names. He just simply gives an illustration with truth in it. But because they identified with this parable, it made them angry because it made them look bad. And so they get mad and they want to kill him, right? Because they're like, hey, he's speaking against me. But Jesus spoke a parable. And to understand what a parable is, guys, and this is so important. A parable is a story with truth, but it never uses names of people or places. So if Jesus gives something and he puts in names of people and places, it is not a parable. For example, Luke chapter 16, when he talks about Lazarus and the rich man, right? But Moses is in there and Abraham's in there, and people say, well, that's a parable, but it's not a parable because Moses is in there, Lazarus is in there, Abraham is in there. Not a parable. But here he just speaks the truth. No names, and they took offense to it. Remind you of today, right? They took offense to it, and what were they? What they want to do? They wanted to lay hands on him to kill him. This is their mindset. Luke 6:11. I don't know why I'm so intense today, guys. I guess after a while, man, you just like. The load just gets heavy and you want to get rid of it. Amen. So come on back next week and I'll be smiling a whole lot more. Luke 6:11. But they were filled with rage. Now listen, that word rage literally means they were out of their minds with the desire to kill. Now think about that. See, we think, oh, they were angry. No. This exceeds anger. They were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. You know why? Because they didn't like his message. And what's Jesus doing? He's just speaking truth. They didn't want the truth. You know why? Because the truth held them to a standard. Which means you can't do whatever you want to do. It's not right. And now they're angry and they want to take Jesus out, right? And then we have Luke 13:14. Because what we're going to see is we're going to see the same thing over and over. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. The ruler of the synagogue, this is your religious leaders. your religious leaders, okay? The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. How dare you violate our traditions? Now, let me ask you this. If one of your family members was dying and you rushed them to the hospital and they healed them on Sunday or on the Sabbath, how many would rejoice that they were healed no matter what day? Yeah, this is how crazy they are about having what they want their way, and they refuse to accept anything from Christ. Guys, that's our world today. And people are indignant against Christ. And I want you to see it's never changed. Look at John 8:59. In John 8:59, they have the same thing going on. John 8:59. Says, then they took up stones to throw at him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him just because he didn't agree with their lifestyle. That's all it is. He didn't agree with their lifestyle, but Jesus hid himself, literally Jesus, because see, Jesus is God. His hypostatic union is so deep, I'm not going to get into that. Literally what this means is Jesus was able to make himself disappear. You're like, he couldn't do that. Did I tell you he was God? Just throw that out there. Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. The midst is the middle of them. That's how you know in context that Christ was able to make himself look invisible, however that looks, however he did it, because it says literally that he hid himself and he went out of the temple. He literally walked out through the middle of them and they couldn't see him. That's the midst is the middle, right? Because Christ is God. We can never forget that. But they did not like what he had to say, and they wanted to kill him. Just like today. See, we can't kill Christ today, so what are people trying to kill? The church. The church. And the church is letting them. They're just falling silent. Oh, I don't want any pressure on me. Oh, I don't want any discomfort. Oh, I want to protect. Where's our love and respect for Christ? Where's our appreciation for Christ to take a stand on the Word of God? See, these people aren't standing for God, and they're religious leaders. All they want to do is kill him. Today, all they want to do is kill him. But him looks like the church. Shut it down, shut it down, shut it down. They're full of hate. Well, why are we full of hate? Because you don't agree with what we want to do. That doesn't make me hateful. Listen, there's things my children wanted to do, and I'm like, no. Did I hate them? No. So I wasn't going to agree if it was wrong. Not one time did my children say, you hate me. If they would have, they'd have picked themselves up off the floor. That's old school, right? That's old school right there. All right. At any rate, right? I just disagree. That doesn't make me a bigot. That doesn't make me hateful. And it doesn't make me racist because I disagree. I just disagree. Oh, and by the way, how many of you have come in here at some point since you've ever come in here and you've disagreed with me? Raise your hand. The rest of you are liars. Okay. So, right now, I'm just kidding. Praise God. You agree with everything I say. All right, here we go. So he passes by them. Why? Because they want to kill him. I want you to look in at John 10:31. And then John 10:39 will be after that, so you're ready. So then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Listen, man, they did not like what Jesus had to say. And then John 10:39. And then after that, I'm going to Luke 4:28-30. Luke 4:28-30. Therefore, they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. Over and over and over again, they couldn't surrender to things of Christ. They wanted to kill him. That's all they wanted to do, is kill him. I want you to look at Luke 4:28 through 30. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Here Jesus is preaching truth, and all the people that are sitting there hearing the truth, all they're doing is getting mad. And it's like, wait a minute, it's truth. I'm just sharing truth. I don't want to hear it. And so they get filled with wrath. If you're sitting, I mean, this is a job. Dear Jesus, if you're sitting here today and you're getting mad at me, something to think about. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. 29, please. And rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. 30. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. They were so enraged at the gospel, they wanted to throw him over the cliff. For one reason, what he said went against what they wanted. That's it. They did not like the truth that was spoken because they did not want to be told what to do. And their desire, the only way they knew to fix it, was to kill him. Get rid of him, don't have to hear him anymore. What they didn't realize, because they weren't saved, you can't quiet God. You can't shut down God. You can't shut down the Word of God. You can't shut down the truth of God. You can't shut down the desires of God. You can't shut down anything that God wants to live. Can't do it. Now, many have tried, and many will continue to try. But God says that His Word will live forever. Can't shut it down. People are going to try, and even to this day, and listen, they don't want to shut it down because it's truth. They want to shut it down because it goes against their evil desires. That's it, right? Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me I can't. Who are you? I put scripture up on a friend of mine because they So I put a verse up, a verse, simply a verse. No comment, no nothing. I just put a verse up. And then I get a response back. Judge not. Who are you to judge? And I wanted to go, you're an idiot. But I didn't do that, right? I was like, you settle it, right? But guys, why is it? Right? How many got that keyboard fever sometimes? I just want to send it out, right? How crazy is it, though, that it's just scripture? If there's no truth to it, why do people get so upset? If Jesus isn't real, why do they get so inflamed and want to kill him at the very mention of his name? There's no other little g God that you can mention that people get riled up over. But the name of Jesus, the sweetest name under heaven, will inflame people. Why? Because he's the living stone, right? He's the cornerstone. Psalm 118:22 says this: the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The stone which the builders rejected is the cornerstone, where everything is dependent upon it. If it crumbles, everything crumbles. And so that which they have rejected, and it has outraged them. Jesus goes on the cross. Here in 4, it says, he's the living stone. rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious. Remember, God said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. He's precious. And I can go in a bunch of verses, but if I do that, I'm not going to get to verse five. And I really do want to get to verse five just because I said I would, not because I'm lacking material. I want you to see in God elected and ordained Christ. And you can write this down, guys. We won't have time to look it up, so don't worry about this right now. If you want the passage, Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 16. Isaiah 42, 1. Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6. Acts 2, 23. Galatians 4, 4. Ephesians 1. I can go on and on and on and on. Where Christ was elected and ordained by God the Father to be the Savior of the world. And you're either going to believe in him or you're not. Now, I want to get to the encouraging part. Amen. In 1 Peter 2, 5. 1 Peter 2, 5. So in 2, 4, he says, coming to him as to the living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Verse 5. You also... Okay, grab hold of this, because this is so cool. This is probably one of the coolest things ever. You also, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you also become like a living stone, just like Christ is. Okay, I don't know about you. That's pretty cool, because that says, that right there is our guarantee. If you have nothing else, that is our guarantee that we, when we come to faith in Christ, that we too become living stones. So when someone believes in Christ, he shares his life, right? Look here in John 17, 21. In John 17, 21, it says, but they all, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe you sent me. So listen, guys, when you believe in Jesus Christ, we become one with Jesus Christ and the Father in heaven. But if we become one, that means this. We can't go against him. We can't go against him. If we become one with Christ, that means that we are one in agreement. And so if you go against him, you really got to ask yourself if you're a living stone. Guys, this is the crux. Like, this is everything. Your eternity depends upon it, and the eternity of the eternity of your friends and your world outside of here, they depend on you being real. If you're not one with Christ, you're not going to share Christ. You're not going to live like Christ. You're not going to talk like Christ. You're not going to act like Christ. You're going to act just like the world, because and however you act, that's the one that you're one with. And so here he says that we have to be one. In John 17, 23, he says, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. What he's saying is we become one with Christ, so we live it out, we talk it out, we act it out. It is what it is. And then the people see that, and then they can become one with Jesus. But listen, if we say we love Jesus, but we're living with the world, like the world, and walking with the world, they're not going to see Christ. They're going to see you agreeing with them, and that it's okay. And then we become hypocrites. Can't do it, guys. That's why Jesus says that I'm in them and then you're in me, and that they may be made perfect. Perfect. Lacking nothing. The only reason we lack and we struggle is because we're walking our own walk instead of our walk with God. And it just creates stumbling blocks for us. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're being transformed, right? So, but we all, with unveiled face, meaning look at us just the way we are, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. If you aren't looking more and more like Christ, you really got to look. Are you saved? Who are you trying to please, yourself or God? I mean, you have to make the decision. And I'm just going to tell you this. If you are trying to please yourself and you're saved or you're born again, then you're like the dog that Jesus talked about, or you're like the pig that Jesus talks about. How many do not want to be called a dog or a pig? Right? Yeah, I guess no. Who you call me a dog or a pig? I'm no pig. But he says, listen, the dog returns to its own vomit and the pig doesn't appreciate the pearls. And so don't cast your pearls, which is the word of God, to the pigs. So if they're rejecting it, they're walking away from it, they want nothing to do with it, why do I want to join them? The Bible says walk away from them. You share the gospel, they want nothing to do with it, the Bible says walk on. Don't cast your pearls before swine. But if we do that today, we're hateful. Or we're better than them, right? Oh, you think you're so good. Boy, I wish. Man, my shortcomings are many. And so we see that we have to walk away. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the whole body for the edifying of itself in love. And so the edifying of the body is not this body, it's this body. Right? And how do we love people? What does that look like? I keep asking the same question over and over and over, and people keep sidestepping my question and then just bring accusation upon me. And I'm like, stop, answer my question. Just answer my question. That's all I want you to do is answer my questions. How do we love our enemy? What does it look like to love our enemy? And our enemy is those who oppose us or oppose the word of God. If you're a Christian, what does it look like to love them? If we can't figure that out, we are going to walk away from God. Because in our own strength, our own thought, our own mind, our own desire, we're going to do what we think is right. And when man does what he thinks is right, in the end, it brings forth death according to the scriptures. What does it look like to love our enemy? It simply means what this verse says. Go back one, please, if you will. Go to 15. Ephesians 4, 15. It simply means speaking the truth in love. And what is the truth? It's the gospel. That's loving your enemy. Love them enough to tell them the truth. If you love them, but you're not sharing the gospel with them, you don't love them. Because even in the Proverbs and the Psalms, it talks about loving your children and disciplining your children. And if you don't discipline your children, that actually means spank them. If you don't discipline your children, the Bible says, because we hear, and you guys, please finish this for me. Spare the rod, spoil the child. But the Bible says if you spare the rod, you hate your child because you don't love them enough to teach them in the way they should go. Why is it any different? I mean, don't spank your neighbor. Right? I mean, I'm not saying that. But that didn't even come out right. Here we go. But what do we do? Oh, dear Jesus, please help me. Okay. What are we to do? We are to speak truth in love. That's loving our neighbor. You know what? The Bible says that if you want to go to heaven, you have to believe unto Jesus. He died for your sins. He loves you, and he wants you there with him. With that comes stipulations, and I understand that. So there might be some adjustment that has to be made in your lifestyle. But Jesus loves you. And if you believe on him in your heart, not here, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you do that, you're going to heaven forever. I just love my enemy. Just love my enemy. But that was so much better than just walking away and in your brain going, oh, I wish they would just go to hell. I'm right. How many have done that before? Yeah, yeah. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. There's times where I've looked at someone because I know them, and I'm like, Lord, I never just say, I just wish they would go there. What I do say is, Lord, I'm going to pray the prayer of David. And Lord, if they're never going to repent and become a child of yours, take them away now. That's my prayer, right? That's a little more godly than, never mind. Okay. So, but you know what? When someone believes in Christ, he shares his life. First John 3:2 says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Guys, we shall be like Christ. Now, that doesn't mean as little gods or as God. What it means is we shall be like Christ in belief and in character. In belief and in character and in attitude and all of that, right? We're going to be like him if we are children of God. Are you born again? And you say, yes, I'm born again. But I'm going to tell you, if you are born again and you disagree with the scriptures, you're not born again. Oh, please don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Jesus says, if you don't believe his word, you're not of him. And then people say, well, Pastor John, you take scripture out of context. Or no, that's not what that verse means. And then I say, you're taking it out of context. And they're saying, well, it's not up to your own interpretation of what the Bible says. So who says you're right? I do. No, not me. I don't say I'm right. Because what do? How many here have written letters? You've written a letter to someone. Right? Yeah, right. And you have this whole idea in your head, and you got this thought, and you have this agenda, and you have this process, and you have this desire of them to have an understanding that you want to get across. So you write it all down, right? So when they read it and it has a purpose. Yes, there's a plan, there's a purpose. It's very specific to a person. And when you read it, you go, oh, so this is who they wrote it to, why they wrote it. This was their intention. This was the point they're trying to get across. Okay, that's pretty clear. Why do you think the scriptures are any different? Do you realize the epistles are simply letters written by the apostles to send to the churches so that they understood what to do, how to live, and what their life was supposed to look like, and what was expected of them as a Christian? But now we want to go, well, that's not what that word meant. Why? Because you don't like it? Now we got to change the dictionary. You want to be stunned? Go online and buy an original 1800s Webster dictionary. I mean, not the original. Get a copy. It's much cheaper. And when you see a word, you look the word up in that, and then look the word up in today's dictionary. And you would go, see, society keeps hijacking our definitions of words so that we can be deceived and believe that they're right and the gospel's wrong. And then we look at the scriptures and we go, well, that's not what that word means, but that's what the word implies in the verses. Well, you're taking it out of context. No, accept what the word of God says and live and die by it. Guys, that's what we have to do. Amen. And so it says that we become as living stones. And to be a living stone means that believers have the eternal life of Christ. They're united with Him. And this is their first spiritual privilege. And we've been talking about spiritual privileges. They don't just worship Him, obey Him, and pray to Him. They're united with Him as stones in a spiritual building of which He is the cornerstone. So here's what I'm going to say. If Christ is a living stone, and then we get saved and we become a living stone with Him, yes? That means we're part of the same building, yes? That means that the building, which by the way is the foundation, we are part of the foundation. You can't go against the cornerstone. You're not a separate building. You have the same agenda, and that's to hold up the same walls, to hold up the same weight, to hold up the same design. You are part of the same. You can't leave it. It's like a marriage. If you leave it, all of a sudden, what do? You tore the building down. If you remove the cornerstone, you bring the building down. Or if you try to be something different, you're building a new building. You can't build a new building on the same building. It doesn't work that way. And so if Christ is the living cornerstone, and then we're a living stone, not cornerstone. Remember, we're a living stone. What are we doing? We're adding on to what Christ has built. If you violate that, you violate the structure of the building and it will fall. We can't violate that. And that's why I keep saying you can't stand and say, I'm a Christian, and then stand with the world. You can't say, I believe in Jesus, but I support a certain group. You can't do that. You're trying to support an entirely different building that has no cornerstone. It'll crumble. It'll crumble. And so if Christ is the cornerstone, and we get saved and we become a living stone, you can't leave that building because it brings it down. It divides it. It weakens it. And you can't go over here and join this if you've already been put in here. You can't. We can't do it. We can't do it. If we try, we violate Scripture. If we try, we spit in the face of God. Can't do it. And so here's what we come down to. If we are living stone. Boy, I didn't even get into this. Man, God's word is so rich. Here we go. So in verse 5, it says, you also as living stones. Guys, so as a living stone, we're to become partakers of the divine nature. Colossians 3:3-4. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You're not your own. And so as a living stone, we're partakers with the cornerstone, and you can't leave the building. You can't. So then it goes on. Paul told the church of Ephesus, he said, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in which you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. I want you to put 21 up. Go back one verse, please. In whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple. See, guys, you can't divide yourself from God if you're born again. Can't do it. You can't do it. I'm not telling you not to love the neighbor or love the enemy. I'm not telling you not to love the LGBTQ group. I'm not telling you not to love the BLM group. I'm not telling you to love the anti-blue line, blue life group. I'm not telling you not to love them. What I'm telling you is what love looks like, and love looks like you sharing the word of God with them. You're sharing the gospel with them. And if you're standing with them and you're not sharing the gospel with them, you're not loving them according to the scriptures. And Jesus says, or Paul says here in Ephesians to the church, this is written to the church for their edification and growth and for our edification and growth. In whom the whole building is all of the church, the entire church of God, not just Connecting Point Church, but the entire church of God. The church of God is those who profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I'm telling you, if you say Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, but you're still living like the devil, you got to ask yourself if Jesus Christ is really your Lord and Savior. The Bible says you can't serve God and anything else. You can't. And so who are you serving? And you know what? The whole building is being fitted together for God's glory to grow into a holy, holy temple, a holy edification. If we're not fitting and growing and going, okay, thus says the word of God, so I'm going to die to this, or I'm going to die to this, I'm going to live to this, sorry. If we're not doing that, then we kill this and we raise this up, which in the end will get killed. And your neighbor going to hell. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so you can't win somebody to Jesus if you're not sharing that which gives them life. You can't. Don't tell me you're loving them and you're keeping this from them. And don't tell me you love God if you're joining them. Whoever them is, fill in the gap. The whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple of the Lord. You cannot say you are a child of God that loves God and not live for God. And I've said it before. If you tell me you love God and you love your neighbor, whoever your neighbor is, right? Your neighbor is anybody you say hello to. That's your neighbor. If you say you love God and you love your neighbor, but you're not sharing the gospel with your neighbor, you love neither. Because Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll do as I say, as I ask. There's a whole lot that goes into this, guys. You know, the world wants to simplify it and make anybody that hurts someone's feelings look like a villain. Jesus hurt a lot of people's feelings. Is he a villain? Some of you think I'm a villain. Just simply because of the message I preached today. I got to preach the truth. I got to do it, not because I'm a villain, but because if I don't preach the truth, do I really love my neighbor? And if I don't preach the truth, do I really love God? Like, these are big questions, guys. These are the real questions that need to be asked and answered. Don't tell me you love Jesus and yet you have nothing to do with him except for Sunday mornings. You're a hypocrite. And don't tell me you love your neighbor, but you don't share the gospel with them. You're a hypocrite. And don't tell me to love the world and the LGBT group and the BLM group and all of that when they are swine that doesn't want to hear the gospel. And all of a sudden I'm the bad guy because I share the gospel with them rather than accepting their lifestyle. I'm not the hypocrite. And I'm not, listen, I'm not the villain and I'm not the bad guy. I'm not the ugly guy. I'm the guy that doesn't have the best message in the world if you're not wanting Jesus. That's the guy I am. We really need to think about who we love and who we're going to serve. And if we really love our enemy, we'll share the gospel. And if we really love Jesus, we'll stand with him. That's the truth, though. You're a living stone. You're attached to the cornerstone. You can't leave it. You can't. You just can't, because God automatically locks you in. The world is screaming for your approval. Satan is screaming for your soul. And you have control of both. I guess I'll have to finish this next week. Guys, you have to answer the question, who's my God? And if your lifestyle doesn't fit the answer, then Jesus isn't your God. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you a good place to start. There's three places that you can look to help to see if Christ is your God. Three places. Calendar. Checkbook. You believe every word of this is true, without exception. Without exception. Those three things will tell you who your God is. They'll tell you who your God is. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Go to the Lord in prayer. I know today was, maybe I'm just intense. I don't know. But I want to give you this opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior. If you're born again, you pray for the one next to you. If you love Jesus, if you're saved, whatever terminology you want to use, Jesus says born again. So if you're born again, you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior in your heart and not your head, then you pray for the person to your right and to your left. If you're struggling, you're wondering, am I really saved? Do I really believe? I'm going to tell you, if you stand with the world, you don't believe. So I want to give you opportunity. Because first off, Jesus says, you're either for me or against me. Either you stand with me or you don't. There's no gray. There's no lukewarm. It's black and white with Jesus on that. And so if you're here today and maybe you're questioning it. Maybe your calendar doesn't have much of showing God in it. And your checkbook doesn't, what you're putting your money toward doesn't support much of what God would. And then you go, man, there's some question marks in the Bible. If you have any of that, you're not saved. Well, your calendar and your checkbook could be all messed up. And you're just disobedient and running from God. That's possible. But you're going to know in your heart of hearts. So if you're here today and you want to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, then I want you to pray this prayer. Now, let me say this. The words are not magical. The words will not save you. Either you believe Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, died on the cross, conquered death and hell, and is at the right hand of the Father, or you don't. If you believe that, the Bible says, with your heart you believe that, and then with your mouth, you make the confession, Jesus Christ is your Lord. The prayer just kind of gives you a roadmap to walk you through it and a timestamp where you say, nope, this is the day I surrendered to Jesus. So you quietly to yourself pray this prayer if you wish to give your life to Christ. Jesus, today I surrender. Today I give my life to you. Today I choose to believe on you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that there is no other way to heaven. You are it. And so today, I surrender my life.